Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. And the title of the message today is Confidence in Christ. Confidence in Christ. And of course, we're talking about the assurance of salvation that God freely gives to His people through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what faith is. I heard a preacher one time say that there's a difference between faith and assurance. That you can have faith, but not have assurance. And I don't believe that's biblically true. Because faith is believing God's record. I preached on that last week. God's word. Believing in Christ. Believing that He is my Savior. That He's able to save. And you either believe that or you don't. And He is my assurance. The problem with most people when they talk about assurance is they look for it in the wrong place. Many people look for it within themselves, within their attainments, their achievements, their spirituality, their works, whatever. But that's not the way we believers are to have assurance. It says in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence, the assurance that we have in Him. Concerning Christ. This is the confidence we have in Christ, not in ourselves. My faith is not in myself. God-given faith is not in our works. My faith is not even in my faith. My faith is in Christ. And I love that passage in Hebrews when it goes from 11. You know, Hebrews 11 speaks of the Old Testament saints who suffered and went through all kinds of problems. And they did it by faith. That is, they did it by looking to Christ to come. And then in Hebrews 12:1, it talks about the sin that so easily besets us. And I've heard preachers preach on that, say, well, that sin may be this for you, but maybe another sin for you. No, he's talking about the sin of unbelief. Now, believers, we have faith in Christ. But we still have the unbeliefs and doubts of the flesh that we wrestle with and struggle with daily. And that's the sin that so easily besets us. We go through circumstances. We go through trials and troubles. And we doubt God. Sometimes in our prayers, we wonder if He's even hearing us. And that's the sin that so easily besets us. How do we combat that? Well, He tells us in Hebrews 12:2. We run the race of grace looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Christ never fails. There's a beautiful verse over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, where the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian believers, he says, we are the circumcision. Now, he's not talking about fleshly circumcision that was brought to the male child under the old covenant. He's talking about spiritual circumcision there, heart circumcision. And heart circumcision refers to the new birth. We've been born again by the Spirit. We've been circumcised in heart and ears. Paul spoke of that in Romans 2. But he says, we are the circumcision. We are the children of God who have been spiritually circumcised, which worship God in the Spirit, and glory in Christ Jesus. That word glory means we have confidence in Christ Jesus. And he says, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, if you're a believer, you have confidence in Christ, but you have no confidence in the flesh. And so when we look at 1 John 5:14, it says, this is the confidence. Well, what is he talking about? the confidence, the assurance of salvation and eternal life that comes only by Christ and looking to Christ. Look back at verse 13. I concluded with this verse in the last message. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. His name is that which identifies and distinguishes him from all counterfeits. You got to, and how do I know his name? Reading the record of God's truth. What does it say about Jesus Christ, the Savior? Who is he and what has he done? He's God manifest in the flesh who saves his people from their sins. Listen. Listen to me. There are no sinners in hell for whom Christ died. Now mark it down. He met all conditions of salvation. He died for his sheep, saved them from their sins. He calls his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice. They follow him, and no one can pluck them out of his Father's hand. He and his Father are one. So this is the confidence that you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. How can I know that I have eternal life? Only by looking to Christ, the Lord, my righteousness. And I mentioned that hymn last week that, you know, most people sing, but nobody really know. Very few know the truth of my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Well, look at verse 14 again. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, many, many people have perverted this verse into making God some sort of a genie in a bottle. And they'll say, well, whatever you want, if you ask for it hard enough and sincerely enough, you'll get it. That's not what this verse is talking about. These verses are talking about salvation, and it's simply saying this. Anybody who wants salvation God's way, in Christ, according to God's record of truth, they'll have it. That's it. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given. That's what it's talking about, salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. But now here's the problem. Now let's look at the whole Bible now, what the Scripture teaches on this subject. By nature. Okay, now listen, when I say by nature, I'm talking about how we are born naturally. The Bible teaches that we fell in Adam into a state of sin and death and depravity, and born spiritually dead. No spiritual ears to hear the truth of God's Word. Now, we can hear the words physically, but not spiritually. Because if you hear them spiritually, you'll believe them. You'll rest in Christ. No spiritual eyes, no spiritual heart. That's why we must be born again. You know, Christ said, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's why God has to give us a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. And so by nature, we want salvation. We want to live forever. But we want it our way. There is a way that seems right to men. It's the way of death. We want it our way, not God's way. In fact, God's way is a turnoff to us naturally. And so anybody who wants it God's way can have it. Because know this, if you want it God's way, that means God has already visited you and given you a new will. A new want to. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It takes the Spirit of God to give us life, to give us ears to hear, eyes to see. You remember in Matthew 13, the disciples asked the Lord, why are you speaking in parables to these Pharisees? And he said, because hearing, they don't hear. seeing they don't see. They don't want it. But he said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. You've been given the gift of faith in hearing and seeing the glory of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when he says, look back at verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Christ. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, the key to that is according to his will. And you remember when Christ taught the disciples to pray, one of the things he said, thy will be done. So when we pray for things, it has, number one, the keys to prayer are this. Number one, we pray unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the first key. Christ is our intercessor. Now, the Holy Spirit also intercedes in another way. But Christ is our intercessor. The only reason that God hears us and receives us is the blood of Christ. The second key to prayer is, thy will be done. So if I pray, if I'm sick and I pray for healing, I've got to pray, Lord, if it be thy will. Now, that's the key. And then many people pray for things that are silly and things that they shouldn't have, even things against God's revealed will. But this verse and the verse follows is talking about salvation. And so if you ask for salvation and the blessings and benefits of salvation in Christ, according to God's will, he hears us. And verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, that doesn't mean that whatever you ask for, if you believe it enough or sincere enough, you're going to get it. That doesn't mean that at all. It means it's all according to God's will. And again, he's talking about salvation. Look at verse 16. This is a key to this, but I want you to see this. Verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now, if you got a King James Version, this next line reads, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And then in verse 17, it says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, in the original manuscripts, the article A is not in there. And it would read this way. Look back at verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for the dead, that sin not unto death, there is not a sin, but there is sin unto death. And I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. There is sin not unto death. Now, what is he talking about? Well, sad to say that many people use this verse and buy into the heresy of what people call the unpardonable sin, the unforgivable sin. And most people get that from passages like Matthew 12, where Christ talks about the sin against the Holy Ghost. There's no forgiveness for it and all of that. But you don't listen. What is he talking about? Now, he says all unrighteousness is sin. What is unrighteousness? Well, unrighteousness is anything that falls short of righteousness. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is the perfection of the law. Perfect satisfaction to God's law and God's justice. It's the perfection of the law that can only be found in Christ. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law, the fullness, the finishing, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And anything less is unrighteousness. Even the best that we do, if it's not perfect, it's unrighteous. Well, I hope you would say, well, nothing we do is perfect. That's right. That's why salvation is not by works, but by grace through the righteousness of Christ. If we're going to find righteousness, we have to look to Christ. Okay? So all sin is unrighteousness. Now, when he talks about sin unto death and sin not unto death, what is sin unto death? Well, that's any sin, not just one particular sin, but any sin that is not forgiven by the blood of Christ. Any sin that's not covered by the blood of Christ, that's sin unto death. Christ told the Pharisees, if you believe not that I am the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, you shall die in your sins. That's sin unto death. Without Christ as my surety, without Christ as my substitute and redeemer, my life giver, all sin that I do is unto death. Christ was manifest to take away our sins, John said in 1 John 3. And in 1 John 1, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ covers all sin. All sins of his people who have him, who believe in him. And so what is this thing like? Go back in Matthew chapter 12 and read that when he talks about the sin against the Holy Ghost. What is the sin against the Holy Ghost? You know, most people, when they talk about the unpardonable sin, they don't even really know what it is. Some people will say unbelief. Well, my friend, what are we all by nature when we're born into this world before we're born again? We're unbelievers. Unbelief is forgiven. But now God's people don't remain in unbelief. They are brought from unbelief to faith in Christ. And they're covered by the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's not one particular sin that's unforgivable. All sin is unforgivable without Christ. That's what he's talking about. And put it in the context here of John. Remember the people who claim to be believers, claim to love Christ, claim to be forgiven, and then they turn totally against him? Well, that's sin unto death, my friend, because without Christ, there is no forgiveness. Christ is the, his blood is the ground upon which God forgives all the sins of all his people. Not just one particular sin. And so what John is saying here is this, go back. This is the confidence that we have in Christ. I have the confidence of the forgiveness of all my sins in Christ. He's my surety. My sins were charged, imputed to him. He's my substitute. He came in time, became incarnate in a sinless human body, and he kept the law and went to the cross to die for my sins in my place. And he shed his blood and paid the full payment of all my sins and redeemed me by his blood. And out of that comes the righteousness which God declares me righteous, Christ's righteousness imputed to me. I have that confidence. Now, if I don't have Christ, if I don't believe in him, all unto death, sin unto death. So back in Matthew 12, what he's telling them, the work of the Holy Spirit is to drive sinners to Christ. The sin against the Holy Ghost is unbelief, but it's that unbelief of a reprobate who goes out through this world and dies in his sins. So the point that Christ is making there is without him, without his blood, without his righteousness, no sin is forgivable. But in Christ, all sins are forgiven. Do you understand that? Let's go back to the passage here. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now, the distinction that he's making here is those who went out from them and turned their back on Christ. There's no possibility of forgiveness for them because they don't have Christ. And he says there is sin unto death. What is that sin unto death? That's that apostasy. That's that rejection that leaves a person, a sinner, in his sins without Christ, going through life and dying in his sins. And he says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. Well, you know, somebody told me one time, said, I thought we were supposed to pray for everybody. Well, in a sense, we are. But here's what I'm saying, and here's what the Lord is saying here. If a person rejects Christ, there's no use me praying that God would forgive him. Because without Christ, there is no forgiveness. How is God going to forgive that person if they don't have Christ? It's impossible. God must punish sin. He's a just God. And the only way that he can be both a just God and a Savior to sinners like me is through Christ. Through his blood shed as the payment for my sins. So if you don't have Christ, now I could pray that God bring that person to believe in Christ, to know Christ. But don't pray for forgiveness apart from the blood of Christ, because that's impossible. That's not according to the will of God. God says his will is to forgive sinners through Christ. And he says he will not forgive sinners without Christ. He told Cain that. Remember when Cain brought the fruit of the ground and no blood? And he said, God told him, he said, you know, if you do well, you'll be all right. Do what Abel did, bring the blood of the lamb, picturing Christ. But if you don't do well, sin lieth at your door, like a hungry lion waiting to pounce, and you have it to do. In other words, you have to deal with it. So if Christ, see, I don't have to deal with my sins in the sense of being forgiven or being saved from my sins, because Christ already dealt with it on the cross. Now, I have to deal with my sins in the struggle that I have between the flesh and the spirit daily, the remaining flesh, remaining sin. But even Christ dealt with that ultimately. That victory has already been won because Christ has overcome the flesh. But I have to deal with it in this life until I go to be with him. But as far as the forgiveness of my sins, as far as the payment for my sins, I don't have to deal with it. Christ did that already. That's why these people say, well, you've got to confess this in order to be forgiven. They're lying to you. Yes, we confess our sin, but that's not why God forgives us. God forgives us, and when we see that, we'll confess our sins. And we do confess our sins when we realize that if God were to ever judge us based upon anything we do or don't do, we'd be damned. Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who would stand? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So he says in verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not unto death. Well, what is that? That's the believer's sins that are covered with the blood of Christ. And so verse 18, he says, we know that whosoever is born of God, not those who went out from us, they weren't born of God. But whosoever were born of God sinneth not. Now there's two applications to that are in line with the gospel. What do you mean we sin not? We're still sinners saved by grace, but our sins cannot be imputed to us, charged to us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. So in that sense, we sinneth not, believers. But what I believe he's talking about more than anything else is the sin of apostasy. If you're born of God, you cannot apostatize from Christ. You cannot turn your back on him totally and leave him. You may stray, but as I said last week, we're on God's leash and he keeps us. He mentioned that back in 1 John 3:9. Look at 1 John 3:9. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, Now, that doesn't mean that when you're born again, you're sinlessly perfect in your character and conduct, because you're not. But it does mean that you cannot leave Christ like those back in 1 John 2:18 and 19 who went out from us. He says, for his seed remaineth in him. The seed there is the child of God, the offspring of Christ. If you're his child, evidenced by being born again, you'll remain in him, and he cannot sin, he cannot apostatize, because he's born of God. And so over here in verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. That's Satan. He keeps himself. Now we know that, and keeping ourselves means persevering in the faith. But we know that we only keep ourselves because he keeps us. And that's what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:12 when he talked about, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And Satan cannot. I mean, Satan can attack us, but he cannot pull us away totally from Christ. He cannot do that because Christ has overcome him. So look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God. Who? Those who are born again by the Spirit. Those who believe in Christ. And the whole world lieth in the wicked one. Lieth in wickedness. Do you see that? Now this is the confidence that we have. And he says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And now he ends with an exhortation. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. That's the issue. Knowing our salvation, looking to Christ. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.